Good morning. Can we get settled so that we start with our meeting? Can we get settled? Cecilia, can you sit down? Good morning, everyone. Good morning, honorable members, DM, the acting DG, and the team. Let me declare this meeting officially open and welcome everyone who is here in this meeting. I'm surprised this house is a full house today. Just asking myself, what is the problem today? Committee meetings are open to the public. They've got the right to be here, although they don't have the right to participate, but just to sit and listen. If they want to smile, they can smile, not laugh, and not disturb the proceedings of the committee. But they are welcome. Everyone is welcome here. Honorable members, the committee meeting for today will focus on the issues as identified in our agenda. But before we proceed with our agenda, can I get an indication? I think can I request those who will be participating in this meeting to introduce themselves? We know all the officials from the department, from ITP, maybe from that site. Can you start?
So I'm Aninka Klaasens. I'm from the Land and Accountability Research Center at the University of Cape Town, and I was formerly a member of the high-level panel looking at laws passed since 1994.
The other one, next, the gentleman next to Aninka, are you from the department?
Morning, Chair. I'm not from the department. I'm a journalist from News 24.
Thank you, honourable members. Can we then proceed with our meeting? I'll request our committee secretary to indicate the apologies that we have received. Firstly, I was informed that the minister will join the meeting late. The new minister of this department. Can I also indicate to members that there's a committee of chairpersons at around about 12:15. So I'll make sure that by that time we're out of this room. Pumla, can I get an indication for the apologies?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. Good morning, colleagues. Good morning, everyone in the room. I've got apologies from MP Walters. He's sick. And I've got apology from DM Mashego. He's busy with the ministry responsibilities. And the apology, as you have indicated, Chair, of the minister. Thank you very much.
Honourable members, thank you very much. Those are the apologies that we have received. Can we note the apologies and proceed? Thank you very much. Honourable members, minutes of the meeting that we held, that was held on the 28th of February, were circulated to members. The three-page minutes. Can we look at the minutes? If there are any corrections, additions, we can do that. Page one of the minutes. Page two of the minutes. Silence means consent. Page three of the minutes. If the minutes are the correct reflection of the discussions that took place on the 28th of February, can I get the mover for the adoption of the minutes? Honorable Magadla.
Thank you, Chairperson. I move that the minutes be adopted.
Honorable members, the 28th of February be adopted. Any seconder? Honorable Mbapama.
I second.
Honorable Mbapama has seconded. Thank you very much, honorable members. Can we move to the next item on our agenda? Honourable members, we have invited the department and the ITP to be part of today's meeting to clarify some of the issues which were raised to the committee. It was towards the holidays around November where the committee was informed that or the chairperson was informed that they requested the committee to look at the issue of the notices that were issued by ITB to residents, to business people who are operating around ITB land, that they must come to ITB offices to convert their PTOs into leases. We therefore wrote a letter to the department to engage the ITB on the issue. We received the acknowledgement of the letter that we wrote to the department from the office of the minister. We therefore decided that today we call the department and the ITP, as well aware that ITP accounts to the department. If there's anything that it's happening within ITP and the department, we've got the right as the committee to call them to appear before the committee and clarify some of the issues. To clarify to this committee the notice, number one, to clarify the status of the PTOs vis-a-vis the leases, and also the impact of that to the communities. So we've got the ITP here, Judge Ngwenya and the CEO, and also the department. I think before the presentation of the ITP, if we can give the department an opportunity. DM, I don't know whether you want to say a word on this before the presentation. Then the ITP will clarify this matter, then the department will come in. Over to you, DM.
Thank you very much. Do you mind if we just wait? The minister is just walking in. I should be able to sit.
Honorable Minister, you are welcome. We have started with the committee meeting. Because you are now here, I've just indicated to the committee that you are coming, and also highlighted the agenda of today's meeting, whereby I indicated the purpose of the meeting, that the department and ITP must explain to the committee clarifying the issues, the issue of the lease vis-a-vis the issue of the PTOs. I've already given the DM an opportunity, but because you are here as the political head, can you take over, greet the committee, and also make an overview?
Yeah. This gadget, there's something wrong with it. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I was greeting the minister, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody, honorable there. I wanted to advise Chair that because MPs are having there is this notion of them snoozing and sleeping in meetings. I don't fall asleep. I slept at 3. We lost a prominent leader in our communities in Crossroads. So I was in hospital until 3 a.m. Be that as it may, here we are, led by our minister. We welcome the invitation that has been forwarded to us. We are presenting ourselves to the committee, and I think that we do not want to waste any time, but the minister would like to greet so that we proceed.
Over to you.
But Honorable Chairperson of our portfolio committee, Mengwenya Mabila, Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable members of the committee from all political parties, and I guess also organizations, I want to thank you once again, Chair, and introduce those who haven't met before. My name is Maite Mkwana Mashabane. Happy to be home. I'm humbled by the gesture of the President to place us with this very enormous, exciting, long-awaited responsibility of correcting our history and dealing with what the President refers to as the original sin, which none of us here, neither be it in SONA or in the debate of SONA or in the National House of Traditional Leaders or no, in the debate, contradicted the fact that that's the original sin in South Africa, the dispossession of majority of the indigenous people. This is the only country. The former ambassador, the former minister, I can say this without fear or hesitation of contradicting myself, where majority of the citizens only own 4% of the land. Because our department also includes rural development. In other countries they have rural development because they have to, because there are other areas that are rural. But in our country, this 75 to 80% plus of the citizens are actually not even belonging to the first economy. Remember, in South Africa we've got two economies. They are not only consumers, clients, but actually belong there. When you talk cooperatives, you are talking about them. When you talk about companies, you are referring to other people. But I think our cover is our constitution, because we did not choose to slaughter each other, but we chose our constitution. Just in case we just don't take our people for granted and their kindness for cheap for too long. I'm not here to speak today, Chair, just to introduce myself and our team with 18 VG here, and listen to your good selves. Because our mandates are similar. We are here to transform this 24-year-old country that had declared other people non-citizens
for 400 years. In the 24 years, we want the majority that have been dispossessed for this number of years to also sing Uhuru. So you have your own track and responsibilities. We have also been under instruction, having been given responsibilities to see that the decisions you take are implemented. I thank you for this opportunity. May I close by reminding you that I've got a 16-year-old child son who was born in transit from one country to the other, who, when he sees me and the excitement of me joining you in this, he says, please remember to sing the national anthem in full every day, every morning, because he says that's what he does. And he says, please make sure that you, our adults, live up to the expectations of South Africans, ordinary South Africans, that we shall not only sing Morena, Boluka, and how we shall die for this land and other things. Nobody's dying as yet, but that shows our resolve to make sure that we're all here as adults to responsibly right the wrongs. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. DM, you're making an overview. Do you want to continue? Okay. Over to you, DG, acting DG. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members, honorable members, Minister DMs. I am now going to hand over then, Chair, as you had indicated. We will start with the ITB. The CEO of the ITB will then present, and the department then will follow. Dr. Madlop. Sorry, my apologies. The chair is going to present this morning, and then we will follow with the department. Thank you very much. Over to you, Chair Chingwenya.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members of this committee, the Minister and Deputy Minister, officials present, and organizations and everybody present, thank you very much. Chairperson, firstly, I must appreciate your indication earlier, because until you clarified until I saw the agenda, I was not aware that we were coming to respond to a complaint. But in that context, maybe I would give a small background before I elaborate, which I think relevant. As I understand, Chairperson, for purposes of my comment now, you are inviting us to comment on the PTOs and leases on Ingonyama Trust land. That is as a result of adverts that Ingonyama Trust issued towards the end of 2017, inviting people who reside in Ingonyama Trust, if they so wish, to approach Ingonyama Trust for appropriate documentation, and that those who have PTOs are invited to have them converted into other instruments, in particular leases. Subsequent to the advert, we received a threatening letter from the Legal Resources Center in Durban, claiming they represent about 10 or 14 holders of the PTO, giving us the deadline of the 10th of January 2018 to withdraw that invitation, as in their view, we were violating the law and reducing the people's rights. We did not respond to that threat. Another letter followed after the deadline imposed expired. While that was in process, we were invited, we received rather an invitation from what is called KwaZulu-Natal Christian Council, wherein Dr. Klassen, who is here today, was going to be one of the participants together with a Mr. Mpenza from the Legal Resources. That workshop was to take place on the 24th of January, and again, we did not feel we want to participate in that. So the letter of complaint, therefore, to the minister, we haven't had sight of, but it would be useful for this committee to get the context of a PTO first. A PTO is a document that was issued only to black people in this country during the time of apartheid. It was issued in terms of the regulations arising from the Black Administration Act of 1927. I do have a typical specimen of a PTO here, Chairperson. I will just read what are some of the conditions in a PTO. It says Bantu areas land regulations. I will read that which I think is relevant. It says the allotment shall not without prior permission in writing under the hand of the Bantu Affairs Commissioner be used for any other purpose than that for which it is authorized. Furthermore, it says the right of the holder in or to the allotment or any improvements thereon shall not be transferred, mortgaged, ceded, leased, sublet, or otherwise disposed of except in accordance with such prior approval in writing and in such manner as is or may be lawfully prescribed. More importantly, Chairperson, permission granted to occupy the allotment shall not convey ownership therein. Another striking condition is that this permission to occupy may, in the manner provided in the Bantu Areas Land Regulation, be cancelled. A, if the holder surrenders the allotment. Two, has obtained it by fraud or misrepresentation. Three, fails to comply with any of the conditions of such permission. Four, fails for two consecutive years to pay the rent, license fees, or any other monies due in respect of his occupation of the allotment or business conducted therein. I stop here for a moment to illustrate that a PTO, for starters, did not give greater rights, worst of all, not ownership, but restricted rights. At the time of its demise, apartheid government passed a law called the Abolition of Racially Based Land Murders Act. This act, among others, did away with PTOs. Because it did away with some sections in the Black Administration Act and some sections in the so-called Bantu Areas Land Regulations. So I'm aware, maybe out of oversight, that notwithstanding this act, which has not been abolished, some PTOs are still issued in some parts of the country. I don't know in terms of which legislation. Because after this act, only the KwaZulu homeland remained with powers to issue PTOs because, for some reason, the KwaZulu homeland had passed a law in 1990-91, simultaneous with this, which is called KwaZulu Land Affairs Act. So some people did not see that that was a remnant of racially based measures act. So when Ingonyama Transport took a resolution, it was not only a resolution because it so wished, but it was felt it's inconsistent with the norms and the laws of the country as we currently speak. The second thing then is that any rights or most rights are created by agreement between the parties. So when we invited individuals, we did so because we believe they got the right to contract without surrendering their rights. The law that creates Ingonyama Trust, Chairperson, Section 2, Subsection 7, says, notwithstanding the provisions of this Act, any national land reform program established and implemented in terms of any law shall apply to the land referred to Section 3.1, provided that the implementation of any such program on the land referred to shall be undertaken after consultation with Ingonyama. Subsection 8 of Section 2 reads, in the execution of his or her functions in terms of this section, the Ingonyama shall not infringe upon any existing rights or interests. We are fully conscious that whether people have got documents or not, they have got rights, and therefore we will not infringe on them. Now, moving forward then to the advert, while we had issued out this advert, the office of the Premier KwaZulu-Natal alerted us to something that we were not aware of. That the province, the KwaZulu-Natal province, has lost a case against the public servants relating to the granting of what is called housing allowance in respect of employees in rural areas. That order is retrospective. They must pay employees who comply with certain conditions, retrospective to 2015. So both the government as the employer and the unions as representative of the workers have agreed that this now must be implemented. There's only one snag that is outstanding. They use the word PTO ignorant as well, that there must be a legally recognizable PTO in their minds, and that the only institution that should issue that PTO is the Ingonyama Trust. So, if that order is not being executed, it would be because we as Ingonyama Trust Board are refusing the people the document which they have all agreed is the one that is applicable. Hence, two things. One, we are currently delaying because we are putting processes in place for these documents so that all the civil servants in the province of KwaZulu-Natal who reside on Ingonyama Trust land access their allowance backdated to 2015. Number two, the conversion of a PTO is a polite way of saying, one, we recognize that they are right, but we are complying with the constitutional requirement that one cannot be discriminated on any grounds, let alone that of race. We do understand, though, that the Center for Land Accountability under Dr. Klassen, they've got a different view of how they interpret Ingonyama Trust Act. We believe to that extent, we haven't had their argument legally crafted, But we believe, as far as that is concerned, we can deal with the matter at an appropriate forum. But as far as the citizens are concerned, especially the public service, we cannot wait for organizations that have very superficial information about what is a PTO, because anybody who wants to suggest that a PTO is a legal instrument that is still recognizable under the present constitutional regime, I think that person requires to revise again his or her understanding. In particular, Madam Chair, financial institutions don't accept PTO for purposes of a collateral. Financial institutions do accept a long-term lease. There are many parts of this country which are under leasehold, and there are good reasons why Ingonyama Trust at this stage is holding on to a long-term lease, which has got safeguards. And furthermore, the argument that suggests that the board is there to collect the money for the people, I want to illustrate this point very clear to you, Chairperson, as a legislator as well. The current budget of Ingonyama Trust is in excess of 50 million rand. What comes from the state is 19 million rand. That can only meet the requirements of the board to pay the staff to sit in the office and do nothing. For the Ingonyama Trust board to begin, even to go out to one piece of land and do a survey, you need equipment, you need a car. Those are paid for by the revenue generated in the form of rental from leases, among others. We can elaborate extensively the consciousness of paying for the land one has access to. In particular, Chairperson, I've said before this committee for years now, our first qualification by the Auditor General in 2001 was that we did not provide for rates which in their mind were owing to Eteguini municipality. At that time it was 28 million rand. If anybody could help us understand, where do we get money to pay municipal rates after certain conditions are met for the land which the trust own, which is occupied by various people, some top civil servants, some very wealthy people. There is a suggestion, if I understand Dr. Klassen, that people must sit there for free with PTO or with nothing. We have a different view on that, Chairperson. And for that reason, therefore, what I'm saying is that a long-term lease guarantees both sides on trust land. One, it recognizes that you've got rights as a beneficiary. And if you've got the rights as a beneficiary, let me use this illustration, Chair, so that people are alerted to the confusion that they have. If you were to make a will, Chairperson, and in your will you create a trust which will be the owner of your house, to which all your children will have equal access, I cannot see how at any time one of them can say, I want a piece of this house to be in my name, because that house belongs to the trust, but it's for your children. They are protected by that without anything else, that they are beneficiaries. We are saying, for that reason, that there are people, in terms of section 2, subsection 8, who shall not infringe on any rights, we keep to that. 20 years later, I am as yet to come across one person who will say he or she has been evicted from Ingonyama Trust, or else that his or her rights have been infringed upon, and he or she has gone to court and won a case on that. I am yet to come across that. So we don't feel we are out of line by providing at this stage with long-term leases, which is a legally recognized instrument throughout the world. And for that matter, I am not aware where there is any land reform program that we have resisted to apply. Section 2, subsection 7 clearly states that any land reform legislation or program shall apply on Ngonyama Trust land. We await that if there is any, and we'll do so accordingly once it's in place. So in that context, Chairperson, unless there are questions, I want just to conclude that the correspondence that I have made available to you, including the award which was granted in favor of the unions, requires all that it requires for it to be finalized, this award, is that Ngonyama Trust must provide a document to the civil servants. And we have said we don't recognize PTOs for the reasons I have alerted, but that we have provided new documents which replaces these PTOs, which are not necessarily leases, if I may say, Chairperson. Those are not necessarily leases, because we believe for a person to enter into a lease, that person needs to apply his or her mind properly, and then once we have reached that stage, we will, of course, convert those documents if need be, or as if something different to that comes into place by the government, we'll be happy to address that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judge. Are there any additions on what the judge has said? But I will request that we refrain from indicating the meetings you have with other people, because we don't have that report here. For instance, the issue of the Christian Council, where Dr. Klassen is part, because we don't have the report of that meeting, so we can't entertain that as a committee. But you specifically focus on what we have invited you for. Acting DG?
Excuse me, Chair. In the light of what the Chair says, the invitation went beyond the PTOs and the leases. I thought you were inviting me only to confine myself to that for now. Otherwise, I can address the other issues that we prepared to address, and I take the point that the Chair says I must confine myself to the invitation, because the invitation has dealt with the high-level panel report and so on. That I purposely did not deal with, because that you did not invite me to deal with that.
We're looking at the invitation, because I don't remember us putting the issue of the high-level panel. Our focus was on the leases and the issue of the PTOs. The high-level panel was a separate matter that was addressed to
another. It's part of the invitation, Madam Chair.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yes.
Just acting teacher.
Chair, thank you very much. From the department, then, Chairperson, indeed, the invite had indicated that we will also be sitting in on the high-level panel report. We have the Ngonyama Trust were asked in terms of the PTOs, but also beyond certain additional questions. From the side of the department, we were asked to clarify the legislative mandate of the Ngonyama Trust and the Trust Board, and the role of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform in supporting the Ngonyama Trust Board. We were asked also to provide background to the conversion of the residential PTOs on Ngonyama Trust land to leasehold, and the policy position of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform in relation to this. We were also asked then to indicate the implications of the policy position to convert land rights as granted by PTOs in terms of ULTRA to tenancy agreements. And then there were issues, obviously, with the specifics that the judge has now been responded to in terms of the PTOs and the notice that went out. So from our side, the team then will present in terms of those three areas that I have raised now in responding to the questions that the committee had raised. I'm going to hand over to Advocate Ramasala, will then take us through those responses, Chair. Okay, Chair Ramasar.
Good morning, Madam Chair, honorable members, our Deputy Minister, honorable Judge Ngwenya, colleagues and guests. As the DG has indicated, we are responding to the four areas that we've been asked to provide information on. Firstly, the legislative mandate of the Trust and the Board, the role of the Department in support of the Trust and the Board, the Department's policy in relation to the conventions that the Board and the Trust are engaged in, that is of PTOs to lease agreements, and the implications of those conventions in relation to the upgrading of Land Tenure Rights Act. Starting with the legislative mandate of the Trust and the Board, it is important to state upfront that the Trust is a statutory body, which means it's established in terms of an Act of Parliament that the judges just referred to. It is a corporate body, which means it is a juristic person that can sue and be sued in its own name. Thirdly, it is important to note, Chair, that the Trust is an organ of state. It's not a private trust, as provided for in the Trust Property Control Act of 1998. It is a public trust because it is established by an Act of Parliament, and it discharges a public function in terms of that Act. So it must be seen in that context that it is not a private trust. I want to emphasize that because Judge Ngwenya gave the example of an individual who, through a will, creates a trust, for instance, to do certain things. For this particular trust purpose, it is a public trust, as I've indicated. The trust has a sole trustee, which is the Ingonyama, the Zulu King, and the affairs of the trust are administered by the board of the trust, that is the best in terms of the Act, and the board comprises the Ingonyama and eight other members appointed by the minister, of course, in consultation with the Ingonyama. That is the trust itself. And in relation to land, in terms of Section 3(1) of the Act, the land which vested in the KwaZulu government prior to 1994 currently vests in the trust. And I think it's important to emphasize throughout that when the land vests in the trust, it vests in a public trust, not a private trust. And the Act states that the trust must be administered for the benefit, material welfare, and the social well-being of the specified communities, the communities that are listed in the schedule today, to the Ngonyama Trust Act. And it further provides that the Ngonyama may deal where the word Ngonyama means the Zulu King, essentially. It says the Ngonyama may deal with the land in accordance with Zulu customary law and other applicable laws, which means that whereas the Ngonyama may apply customary law in relation to the trust land, other laws also apply to trust land. And the Act further provides that the board may decide to encumber, pledge, lease, alienate or dispose of the trust land. This is important because it gives the trust and the board specific powers in relation to administration of the trust land. But you will note as we proceed, Madam Chair, that it will be important to distinguish between dealing with already existing rights and rights that are not yet in existence, because it's important in terms of if, for instance, the trust decides to lease, for instance, what will be the implications of that arrangement by the trust in relation to already existing rights that are accorded to community members. And the Act further provides that the Ngonyama can only encumber, pledge, alienate, or dispose of the land with the consent of traditional or community authority. This will be the traditional communities, those that are listed, as I said, in the schedule to the Act. Now, secondly, Madam Chair, in relation to the role of the Department in support of the Trust, as the Chair has indicated, the Trust and the Board account to the Department of the Minister in particular. Firstly, as indicated, the 8 other members of the Board are appointed by the Minister. I've indicated the other member is the Ngonyama or his or her appointee. The Department, in terms of the Act and the regulations, bears the cost of the administration of the board. I think Judge Ngonyama has indicated roughly how much the department contributes to the board as funds. And then the regulations in terms of the Act provide for the establishment of the secretariat of the board, which is also established in consultation with the DG. That shows the involvement of the department in the administration of the affairs of the board. And then also the board has a responsibility to recommend to the minister the making of regulations. And the Act is also specific in terms of the types of regulations that may be made. Firstly, it talks about regulations that may provide for procedures for land allocations in with regard to land that is investing in the trust. Regulations related to rental levies and other charges for right to use the land, and the discipline of income. What this provision provides for, Madam Chair, is that there must be regulations made by the Minister on the recommendations of the Trust that relate to the procedures for allocation of stands, for instance, regulations related to rental levies and other charges. In relation to the right to use the land, and also discipline of the income received by the board. Now, thirdly, in relation to the role of the department, I think that continues again. It is clear in terms of the Act that the board's accounts must be open for inspection by the DG. That further indicates accountability by the board to the department, and that the board must submit annual report on the activities of the trust to the minister. That's about accountability. Now, the issue relating to the policy of the department in relation to conversions that have already been spoken to by Judge Ngwenya of PTOs to leases, there is no written policy on those kind of conversions in the department. But from legislation, an act that was passed by the department or by this parliament in the past, and from the bill that the department is working on, it gives an indication of what the department's view is on possible or conversions from PTOs to lease agreements. There was an act that this parliament passed, the Communal Land Rights Act in 2004. That act provided that informal rights, which are currently held by community members, which include PTOs, were to be converted into ownership, right of ownership. And the Communal Land Tenure Bill that we are putting together as a department that has already been published for comment, and I see the Ngonyama Trust has also commented on that bill, provides that the informal rights, which include PTOs, must be converted into ownership. Now, from that, Madam Chair, you can see that the department's position is that of upgrading the current informal rights into ownership. So that is the position of the department as it stands. Now, lastly, the implications of the Department of Sports and Recreation for Ultra, that is the Upgrading of Land Tenure Rights Act. The Upgrading of Land Tenure Rights Act provides as follows. It provides that any person who is the holder of an informal right, which include a PTO, may approach the deeds office to have that right converted into ownership, into title. So basically, that act provides that any person who currently holds a PTO can approach the deeds office to have that PTO converted into a title deed, which means full ownership. Of course, there are two conditions that the Act provides for. Firstly, the conversion must be supported by the community consent to say that as a community, they've taken a resolution that they will allow a conversion of PTOs into full ownership. And secondly, the minister must confirm or approve that conversion, that the conversion will not adversely affect the interests of other persons in the area. Those are the two conditions, but essentially all it means is that if I have a PTO from my province in Limpopo, which was issued in the past, I think, 2 or 3 years, and that continue to be issued, basically I can take that PTO of mine, go to the deeds office, and request that it be converted into ownership on condition that the community, my community, has agreed that that can be done, and the minister also approves of it. Now, the conversion of PTOs into leases, it does one thing in particular. Irrespective of the nature of the informal right, whether it's a PTO or any other form of right, which some people regard as informal right, whatever its nature, the upgrading or approves of it or recognizes it as a real right of some sort. And as I've indicated, I can take that form of right, approach the deeds office to have it converted into ownership. Now, if, for instance, the trust was to, with regard to new allocations, where there are no already existing rights, with regard to new allocations, decide to issue lease agreements, I don't think there will be much of a problem, because in terms of the Act, the trust is empowered to alienate a property that person is. It has the right to lease or pledge or encumber that property. But with regard to already existing rights, then there is a challenge. Because if, for instance, a right that I have, which I can take to the due office to convert into ownership, if the trust now says that is going to be converted to a lease arrangement. Remember, a lease arrangement is at the instance of the lessor. And now it means there is going to be a negotiation of rights. There's going to be a term for the lease agreement, there's going to be rent to be negotiated. But the bottom line is that the land that is leased essentially belongs to the lessor, and the lessee becomes some kind of a tenant on land that essentially belongs to the tenant, which I see to be a challenge. But I'm sure the trust can explain better, what the arrangement is, what the implications are in that. I hear the submission that the PTO is a discriminatory form of land rights. I'm sure we all accept that, because it arises from the 1927 Black Administration Act and the 1969 Proclamation R188, which provides for that. Sadly, some of the provisions that are still applicable, in particular Chapter 3, I think Section 6, 7, and 8, that deals with land tenure, are still applicable. And that's why PTOs continue to be issued in other provinces. Well, I'm not sure about KZN, but where I come from in Limpopo, in my village, we continue to receive PTOs from traditional consent, and that's how it operates. That, Madam Chair, I think sums up the submission position to the issues that we're asked to provide information on. Thank you very much.
questions, Acting DG?
No, I think that's our presentation for now, Chair.
Honourable members, you have been listening, but Advocate Ramasa, I'm Pumzile Ngwenya from Bangwane village. If you can explain to the Mbangwane community the PTO, the lease, which one is better than the other? Because mina as a rural woman, the PTO ngibona ngazuthi is better than the lease. How can you explain that to a rural woman? Nakafuna kuthi uchaze kahle ukuthi which one is better, because we can't move people from 1 to 0. Instead, we must move people from level 1 to level 2. So which one is at which level? Secondly, before I allow members to, the issue of the approval. When the trust make the decision, are they not binded by this two sentences, the ultra, where the minister must first approve, or the community must first approve?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The first question, I think it really depends on where one stands, you know, where one views the issue from. I mean, if I'm the landlord, I will say the lease is a better option, as an example. And then the lessee will probably disagree, because the lessee becomes the tenant, and in a disagreement, as would agree, you know, you. The terms are set by the landlord in the main. But coming to the PTOs, you see that the PTOs constitute already existing rights. It is land on which people have been residing for many, many years, through inheritance, through direct allocation. It in most instances is the land on which they resided even before. You know, these laws were passed by successive apartheid governments. The people were there on the land. Parliaments then came up with laws to manage the administration of that's what they called Black Administration Act. It was meant to administer the affairs of blacks. That's why they came up with some form of that. That's why, you know, on the face of it, it appears that there is no strength or anything, but If you compare it with a lease, I will say that with regard to already existing rights, where you say a person who has a PTO already, who has the right in terms of the Ultra Act to convert it into ownership, must now change to a lease arrangement, where it's going to be charged a rent, where there must be a term of the lease. There must be basically the terms of the lease that he must or she must negotiate now with in this case the Ngonyama Trust. That for me suggests that a PTO is a more stronger right than a lease agreement. Now, coming to the second question of the upgrading of land tenure rights, as I've indicated, Madam Chair, with regard to already existing rights, I think it would be a violation of the already existing right to say that persons must forgo those rights and opt for new types of rights, which include the lease. But of course, the trust may see it differently, because I'm sure that there's been serious consideration of the legal implications of the arrangement. But that's how we see it in the department, that you have already existing rights that are protected by law, that simply convert them into something else could be seen as a violation of those already existing rights. In addition to that, the a Bill Rights Act, the Interim Protection of Land Rights Act, it provides that in an instance where a formal informal right like a PTO, for instance, is taken away. For instance, if my village decides that they're going to take away Ramasala's property in the village, and he must henceforth leave the village, the Bill Rights Act says that the village must compensate me for that loss. Now, the question would be, in the case of the communities in KZN, if they're going to be changing that regime from a PTO to something else, are they going to be compensated for the loss of that formal right, informal right in particular? Maybe that's something that the trust may, I'm sure, has considered and should be able to explain to the committee what the implications are. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Let me address the issue of the invite to the four members engaged in the presentation to the department. It was directed to the minister and also the deputy minister. The Portfolio Committee on Rural Development invites the minister, Mike Dengwane Mashabane, and the deputy ministers mentioned, and ITB and senior officials of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform to come to a briefing, to come to a briefing, not to brief, to come to a briefing session on the recommendation of the high-level panel regarding the land reform and rural development by Dr. Anika Klassen, chairperson of the panel's working group on land reform, will lead the presentation on the panel recommendations. It further indicates the department and ITP are therefore requested to prepare a report and make presentation on the convention of PTOs for residential land on the Ingwenyama Trust land to leasehold. The presentation should cover, but not limited to, the following: legislative mandate of ITP and the Trust Board and the role of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform in supporting ITP. Background to the convention of the residential PTOs on ITP land to leasehold rights and the policy position of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform in relation to the convention of PTO to long-term leases. Implications of the policy position to convert the land rights as granted by PTOs in terms of the upgrading of Informal Land Rights Act ULTRA to tenancy agreements. Status report on a number of both residential and business PTOs converted to long-term leases to date. New residential and business leases issued